Next on BYUSN, it's rivalry time. BYU men's basketball will head north to Salt Lake City to face Utah. We preview the matchup, plus how confident are we that BYU will actually win this game? Point guard Dallin Hall joins us in studio to describe his emotions heading into the rivalry showdown and how he's adjusting to his new role off the bench.
Can you believe we're past halfway through the regular season now? We serve up some mid-season superlatives. And men's volleyball picked up a big road win in dramatic comeback fashion yesterday. Is this BYU team a legit national championship contender?
Top five, here we come. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Friday, everyone. This is how we do it. January 17th, I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who is, like Reggie Bush, still not over BYU football being left out of the college football playoff.
I thought I had moved on, and then I heard Reggie Bush say this about the Cougs.
Only team I thought got left out that I thought should have been in there was BYU. You know, I thought BYU was a team that could have really made a run into the playoffs, deep into the playoffs. We saw what they looked like in that bowl game. They looked great. They looked just physically dominant.
Wow. Okay. You know what? I tried not to think about it. I tried to move on. I tried to enjoy the Alamo Bowl. I, like everybody else, enjoyed the Alamo Bowl. So
you'd gone through the five stages of grief.
Why are you bringing me back?
You'd gone through the five stages of grief, or so you thought.
Why did Reginald bring us back? You know, Reggie Bush and USC beat up on BYU twice, 03 and 04. I was on my mission. I missed those. But
he's endeared himself to every BYU fan forever for that commentary.
Yeah.
Even though there is a little bit of, I was through it emotionally.
I know. I don't want to go back there.
But not only did he say BYU deserved to be in the playoff, but he continued on and said they could have made a deep run into the playoff.
Deep run to me would have been one win.
Like, you win a game?
Win a game.
Whew.
Is
the idea of BYU not just getting it, but winning a game is wild.
I think you guys talked about it the day I was gone of the would you rather have had the Alamo Bowl result or lost a playoff game?
BSMU specifically.
I think I would have rather been Brigham.
Absolutely.
We're feeling good.
People like Reggie Bush are talking about BYU the way they're talking about BYU because of what happened in the Alamo Bowl.
SMU finished on a two-game losing streak, not feeling great, right?
They got the...
We played Clemson hard, and then we got blown out by...
SMU got the fraudulent treatment.
Yeah.
Right?
Would not have liked that.
No, that would not have sat well.
I like the... They seem super legit. They maybe should have been in their convo.
Hey, yeah. Let's go. Vibes are good. Alamo Bowl champs. BYU basketball is coming off a win. Rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
It's going to be rocking. It's going to be filled with some royal, some red. One, we got number 13 on our team, you know.
Doesn't matter how lopsided things are, everything goes out of the window.
It means a little bit more just because it is a conference game.
Utes and Cougars in men's basketball tomorrow night. BYU still on the hunt for road win number one. What a place to potentially do it in full-on enemy territory. And it's a quad one opportunity for that NCAA tournament resume. By the way, and this is a little bit wild, it'll surprise some of you. KenPom currently has Utah favored by 1 point and gives BYU an even 50% chance to win, a true coin flip game in Salt Lake City. ESPN's BPI, not as favorable, but close, gives BYU a 48.7% chance to win. Wow. Looking at those numbers, is this fair, Jerem?
No. I think BYU is a better team, and certainly there's some numbers to justify that. There are also some numbers to say, hey, Utah's better than you think. I didn't think this would be a quad one at this point. I'm glad that it is, because it can be a game that matters even more. It already matters because you just look across, see that crimson that gets fired up, right? I love the royal versus crimson. The teams don't wear white. They go royal versus crimson. I love that in the various rivalry matchups. BYU feels like a team that could be in the NCAA tournament. Utah is nowhere to be seen in that regard. They could play themselves into that. Hopefully they add an L in the loss column coming up tomorrow night. I think it's a little weird that it's 50-50 in Utah by one. But that's going off of efficiency numbers from KenPom and whatnot. When the line comes out, I'm interested to see, if BYU's favored by 3.5 or 4.5 or something like that. We'll see that tomorrow. But yeah, on paper they look very similar. But I think BYU's a better team, and certainly the way BYU played Tuesday shows us that they can step forward. So it's going to be interesting. Remember, BYU lost this game last year up there, shot 36%. 23% from three, lost by four. If BYU had shot 45%, they win that game by six or eight. So don't shoot terribly, and you should be just fine.
I want to be really bothered by this. I want to. I want to be emotionally just bothered by this. But then I look at what BYU has done on the road this season and think, okay, well, what's there? And why would BYU deserve to be given this treatment as a favorite if they haven't produced and performed on the road to this point? What do we have to look at this year?
Will it be a road game tomorrow? The Upper Bowl is going to be all Cougs. That's what it was last year. What it'll be tomorrow.
I think that this will be the game that Utah fans understandably show up for the most. They're lingering on a football loss, and their team just beat TCU, and they know that BYU is coming in, and they remember what happened in Salt Lake City last year. That was their highlight moment of the season last year, beating BYU in Salt Lake City. They want that again. So I think that there will be a good contingent of Utah fans.
Is that really the best win? Yeah, BYU was pretty good last year.
BYU was really good.
They never beat anybody else.
They beat a team that was a six seed in the NCAA tournament, ranked nationally.
They never beat Arizona or somebody.
Right? Yeah. So beating a nationally ranked BYU last year was a great win. So they know what that feels like. They'll show up. It'll be loud. It'll be volatile. And again, BYU, looking at what they did against Providence, what did they do against Houston? Gosh, what did they do against TCU? And what did Utah do against TCU? So BYU loses a close game. Utah wins pretty convincingly, actually. Like, it was kind of close, but Utah was in control of that game at TCU, and so they've got some good vibes winning in Fort Worth, coming back home. This all makes sense. I hate it, but it makes sense that this is a 50-50 game. BYU, on paper, has more talent. Nobody is questioning that. But home court advantage is the most dynamic of any home advantage, I think, in any college sport. And certainly that translates to what happens in Salt Lake City.
Who tweeted yesterday that it was 67% Big 12 home court wins? Now it's like in the 50s. So it's gone down.
Interesting.
Like road teams are winning in the Big 12 this year. It is at Utah. It will look very crimson and whatnot, but it's going to be like 35% BYU fans.
I hope a ton of BYU
Trevor
fans
Nelson
find tickets and show up.
We're calling for it. Like, Upper Bowl is going to be at least BYU fans.
Will the Upper Bowl be open? That's a legitimate question.
No, it will be for this game, for sure. But, they'll tell them the Red Rocks are in there. They'll all show up. The Lower Bowl, you'll see the season ticket holders that don't go to the games for all those empty seats, they'll suddenly show up tomorrow. They'll be there. And the last time BYU was up there, a lot of people got mad at it about a lot of things. And BYU won a football game. And it was awesome. Went through a security yesterday at the Delta Center. The guy said, hey, you can't wear that BYU jacket in here. And I said, still not over it, huh? Would you say this was stolen from you? You know, I was just giving him a hard time. But I'm excited for it. Like, I know it doesn't have the same juice as football for some people. I'm telling you, every time I see Royal and Crimson together, I have the same energy, the same love, the same hate, the same sports competition.
Love?
I love it. Yeah, love of the rivalry. I love when women's soccer plays. I love when swim and dive compete. I love when rugby, everything. I love it. I think it's great. And now they're in the same league, which is awesome. So we get two of these back-to-back years in Salt Lake. We'll have the March 8th regular season finale between BYU and Utah on senior night. It's going to be a really fun one in Provo. So, yeah, is it weird that it's a 50-50 in a one-point game? Yeah, kind of weird, but and credit to Utah. They played better than I thought they would
up to this
point.
They're playing their
honestly.
Best basketball of the season right now.
I thought they would stink. And it's too bad that it ends tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, it's too bad that today is the peak for Utah basketball this season.
The common opponents, again, Oklahoma State. Utah rolled Oklahoma State. BYU won by, I think, five fewer points.
Yeah.
And then we talked about the differences between TCU.
Texas Tech a little different.
Texas Tech embarrassed Utah in Salt Lake City by 28.
Yeah, so Utah and BYU are trying to avoid being in the bottom like four or five right now, right? Colorado, Oklahoma State, BYU, Cincinnati, Utah. These are teams that have kind of struggled in the 0-1-2 wins in the league. BYU kind of climbed out of that. Utah kind of climbed out of that. So this is an important game for BYU in this four-game stretch we've talked about.
It's critical.
Like, got to win it. Got to win at Colorado, and then you hope you beat Cincinnati at home, and then you kind of restored some of the chaos from the early part of the Big 12.
BYU needs to win three of the next four to have a winning record at the end of January. And if they're going to win nine games
absolutely do.
If they're going to win nine games in this league, or even 10, then they have to be 5-4 going into
If they go 2-2 in this four-game stretch,
nope.
I literally go, well, now it's 8-12 expectation.
Probably.
Because if you're going to lose to teams you should beat a couple of times, why in the world are you suddenly going to beat Baylor, Arizona, Kansas at home, like 1, 2, 3 of those? We still believe that's going to happen despite some of the struggles BYU's had. But hopefully Tuesday, BYU captured something, which brings me to this. How confident are you that BYU will beat Utah tomorrow night?
I'd probably set the line at BYU by 3 points. So take that for what
another,
it is.
Another tight one like last year?
So percentages, I don't know, high 50s that BYU goes up there and wins this game.
I wish the weather was high 50s. It's cold.
We just talked about why this game matters so much and how it can be one of those launching points. It's one of those trampoline games for either team, frankly. Whoever wins the game tomorrow is going to be playing with some supreme confidence going into the next contest. Like if BYU wins tomorrow in Salt Lake City,
get a little win streak.
I believe they'll win at Colorado and get to 4-3.
I think they will either way.
And then I believe that they will take that momentum and come home and beat Cincinnati, and they'll be 5-3. Like, but it's all about tomorrow. It's this trampoline momentum game. And if Utah wins, now they're 3-3, and there's belief. Like, oh, we've won 3 in a row, and we just beat BYU.
We're actually all right.
We actually might be pretty good.
And like, let's be honest. Like, if this season's a real, real struggle for Utah, they might have some changes. They're, like, Craig Smith and his team are playing for his job somewhat this
yes,
year.
Yes, there are certainly
so
an element to
they
that.
Have responded well the last couple of games. I'm like you. I'm feeling confident. And I like this. Utah plays with some tempo. They're 60th, even though they're kind of big.
They move
I
a
think
lot.
BYU yeah. got sped up against Oklahoma State in a way that helped them. BYU's been too slow. They've talked about, hey, we need to play a little faster.
They're playing with
so
pace.
When Utah plays faster, you go with it. They're going to focus on a lot of inside the arc kind of shots because they're 57% from two. They top 40 in the country. They're first in assist percentage, by the way. They share the basketball, 71%.
Like so BYU last year.
You've got to move on defense.
There are those elements. The motions that they have, like the actions they have on their ball screens, some of them look just like BYU last year.
And they're big. Right, you gotta handle Lovering. You gotta handle the Madsons on the wings and whatnot. It's gonna be interesting. Keanu Dawes has been dunking on everybody, by the way. I'm interested to see kind of who matches up with him. I would say that Richie Saunders is probably gonna guard Gabe Madson on the wing for the most part. Interested to see what.
Or do you put Mewet Mag on him?
Maybe Mewet Mag is the guy initially. Someone who can move with him. Either of those two guys.
Will BYU have the same starting lineup they had against Oklahoma State?
I would guess yes, because I think it worked. And it gave kind of down hall this space to operate in.
Sure, and Mewet Mag's in the lineup for the first time as a starter.
Yeah.
Will he start again against Utah?
Do you sort of set the tone defensively? There's been a real emphasis on the defensive side of the ball for this team and what Will Void has installed. So I'm excited about it, man. I can't wait to watch it. I think it's going to be a good, fun game. Utah's better than we thought. BYU hopefully is capturing and finding some things that they've struggled with the previous three games, but Tuesday against Oklahoma State discovered. Can Dallin and Yegor play together in the same way? Can BYU knock down some shots?
What does Cannon Catchings bring to the game tomorrow?
Right? Because Tuesday was a tough night for him. What's the difference of Kaba Keita playing in Royal now up there? Emotionally, what's that like for him? I liked Kevin Young's comments earlier in the week about what's your kind of history with the BYU-Utah rivalry. He said, well, growing up in Georgia, I would watch it like Monday at like 10 or 11 on Big Monday. So I saw the animosity.
Oh,
there.
That Mountain West window.
You thought 8:15 was bad in football.
He's remember watching in Georgia. Mondays? Kevin was watching that game at midnight because it was 10 Mountain.
Yeah, he's in middle or high school just staying up late. I love that. I love the idea thinking of him and Justin just like watching BYU-Utah games from afar, and now they're at BYU. He said, is Kaba Keita like the ultimate traitor since he came down here? It was like a legit question. And he said, and Burgess. So I think it's fun. And then you think about Jake Wallin, who is committed to play here, and then, BYU kind of let him go. He went up there. There are problems, some emotions there. Hunter Erickson transferred as well. So I love it, man. I love when these two tango. I think it's great for the state. I think it's this is a great history of basketball in this state. Utah trying to get back to that level, right, where they were in, like, the late 90s, mid-2000s.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a fun game, and BYU's got to go up there and win their first road game, even though I would just call it – I know it's a road game, but BYU fans are going to be in there to where it's not a true road game.
Jerem, it would easily be BYU's best win of the season to date because it's one on the road, and two, it would be BYU's only quad one victory on their tournament resume.
That's a convincing argument. We'll discuss that a little bit later in our midseason
superlatives. It would be their best win to date tomorrow because of the they don't have any of that on the resume right now.
Which is a little weird.
They can take care of that tomorrow.
Neither team has a quad one, by the way. This is a quad two for Utah.
More elements to why this game is so critical and why it matters so much for both teams.
Yep.
Our question of the day, are you expecting BYU to pick up their first road win of the season at Utah tomorrow night? Why or why not? At @Scott_Bundy on X answers, I'm expecting it, as well as winning the two games after that. Anything other than a four-game win streak during this stretch will eliminate BYU from NCAA tournament at-large possibility.
Too dramatic, too soon. There's a lot of big games coming up.
Have you seen February? There's ample opportunity to impress the committee, but I understand what he's saying.
Maybe Scott feels like, if you're not going to win these games, why would you win those
games?
Yes. Which I argued earlier. But, yeah, things can turn a little bit. BYU can go 3-1 and be fine. Yeah.
Win three of the next four. I'm not expecting four straight wins.
Yeah.
Win three of the next four.
We would love it.
I would love it. Yeah, but I'm not expecting it.
Swoosh Life 59 on Instagram, a Nike person. Yes, hopefully BYU can hold a lead. Winning up north is always fun. Sko Cougs. Last year was tough. BYU had a possession late to win and fumbled it out of bounds. It didn't work. Hopefully this year it doesn't come down to that.
Yes, and holding a lead, that translates to other games this season. BYU had a lead late against Ole Miss. Couldn't close the deal. BYU had a lead against Texas Tech with 8 minutes to go in the game. They're up 5-4, whatever it was. Couldn't hold the lead. BYU had a lead at TCU. They're up 5 again late in the second half. Couldn't hold the lead. Can this team do it in Salt Lake City?
Yes.
Let's go.
Yes. Yesterday, the Department of Education released a 9-page document saying Title IX applies to payments to athletes. This on the heels of up to $20.5 million in revenue sharing later this year to start to be distributed to athletes, depending on what the schools want to do. What do you make of this?
I expected it at some point. There was some strong verbiage in there, some strong language.
You expected Title IX ramifications?
I wouldn't say ramifications. I expected a statement and a stance because I've been wondering it for a while. Like, well, all of these big money sports are being taken care of. At what point does the Title IX office step in and say, hey, remember this thing that's been in play for like, 40 years or however long it's been? We need to take care of all the sports, including specifically the women's sports as well. I felt like it was going to happen at some point. But because there's been
The smaller men's sports.
Correct.
It's not just
correct.
Small women.
But there's been like little to no jurisdiction on it. So I just figured like it was a matter of time before something like this comes out. I understand. I don't know how in the world they figure it out. And again, we're talking about major politics at play here and two presidential administrations that are going to be flip-flopping and switching over.
This is the end of the Biden administration.
They're going to change
Department
their stance.
Of Education. This is what they're saying on their way out. Will the new administration have a different take?
Will they honor that? Will they view it differently?
This is basically a shot across the bow saying, FYI, we think that it would be a Title IX issue.
Yeah. So, again,
then schools are like, wait a minute, we had a plan. Do we continue with that plan? They're going to have to see what the new admin says.
Strong language, but are there specific mandates from the new administration at the highest level of government to make sure that the smaller men's sports and the women's sports are given what they deem a fair share of this?
It depends if the revenue sharing is considered, quote, athletic financial assistance.
And what falls in? Does NIL get wrapped into that?
That's another thing there. There's two things there. So then it would need to be proportional between men and women. So the memo wasn't super clear about payments from collectives either. So, we'll see.
They're going to push for it. Why wouldn't they? Like, hey.
I would be surprised on the NIL thing because that feels individual and that's not an athletic financial assistance. That's like, no, these third parties are paying us. If you bring the third party into the athletic department, which some people think will happen, there will be governance for that. Now it's interesting. So NIL, I would think, well, that depends on, that's capitalism. Like, I want you to represent my company, but not you.
Well, look at what BYU did in recent years. I mean, Built Bar came in and was like, hey, we're going to sponsor the football team. We're going to hire each of you as our employees.
Yeah.
And we're going to make sure specifically that the non-scholarship players have some funding. But then women's sports got their own deal with Smarty, right?
Yeah.
And it was just for women's sports.
And if I'm men's volleyball, I'm going, well, what about me?
Can we go do our own thing?
Right. So, yeah, NIL to me needs to stay with it doesn't need to be under Title IX.
A specific group. It's specific to groups and individuals.
I wonder on, you know, revenue sharing how they're going to do that, because many schools have said up to 75% was going to go to football and men's hoops.
Some say 80%.
Wild. BYU doesn't have to say out loud what they want to do. They have not. It's easy to imagine that football and men's basketball would get a big chunk of that.
There's a lot of money on the table. Shocker, everybody wants a piece of it, and they want a bigger piece of it.
So we'll see. We'll see what goes down with that. But yeah, that kind of memo going out was perhaps game changing. We'll see what.
Hey, listen, BYU men's volleyball deserves more money. They deserve more appreciation.
Oh, they're fine. They're four.
Respect.
They're 4.5 scholarships.
Because the fifth-ranked Cougars pulled off a dramatic reverse sweep last night against number 6 Ball State on the road. You want to talk about a team winning a big game on the road in dramatic fashion? BYU men's volleyball did it last
night. Take some notes,
come
men's
on.
Hoops.
Jeremy, you saw what happened last night. I know a sweep on the road would be incredible, but realistically, I think you and I agree. Like, we were hoping for, like, hey, split. Just split on the road in these top 5, top 6 showdowns.
I think this weekend, next week, at UC Irvine.
Split.
So
are they legit?
BYU's down 2-0. They were both deuce sets. One of them was an extra. So it wasn't like BYU was way off. They changed setters to Tyler Herget. They bring Ian Little off the bench at opposite, and BYU wins the next three. They win 15.
Herget coming up big, bro.
Right? The spirit of Todd Herget's son, Tyler, backer from the 90s. Is BYU legit? I still want to see him play Ball State tomorrow. I want to see him play Irvine. I want to see him play Hawaii at the end of the month on BYU TV.
Yeah.
And then I'll have a real good assessment. But
Irvine and Hawaii are both top 4 teams.
Yeah. So. And Ball State's 6. So this is a tough schedule. BYU looked really good last night. I think they're better than last year, and I hope they're in position to, if they don't win the league, get one of those two at large. But it is January 17th. Let's play it out a little bit.
They're so
I'm
fun
encouraged.
To watch. Yes, they're
I'm
so
excited.
Fun to watch. They're under the radar. And whatever it is
Which
about
is funny
that,
because they're number 5.
BYU, yes. But in that sport, like, they're still kind of like, yeah, you're good, but you're not like elite like these guys.
You're not UCLA, Long Beach State,
they?
Hawaii.
Or are
We're
they?
We're going to see the next 3 weeks.
Can't wait to find out.
Yep. Men's hoops at Utah tomorrow night. Big, big game for both teams. Pre-game coverage begins at 8 Eastern time on BYU Radio. Can't wait for that one, man.
Up next, man I believe is the most important player on this BYU basketball team, Dallin Hall. In studio to discuss how last year's game at Utah is getting him set for this year's game emotionally and how he's embracing his new role off the bench. This is BYU Sports Nation.
We can shoot, drive, and pass it, and then you surround us with the guys we have on this roster, and it makes us really scary.
Dallin Hall! Dallin Hall! With another three!
I'm just focusing on what I can control, and that's my effort, that's my leadership.
We are live at Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan, the man that represented the best of the best of those latest highlights you just saw. Dallin Hall is with us in studio. Dallin, welcome back to the show, man. How you feeling?
What's up, dude?
Feeling good, man. It's good to be back.
Yeah. How's rivalry week and the emotions surrounding rivalry week as you build for another game at Utah?
Yeah, no, it's exciting. They got us last year, so that's fresh on our minds for the guys that were here. For the new guys, I think as soon as we step in that gym and it tips off, they'll get a good understanding of what this rivalry is about. But Utah's a great team. They've been playing well. We feel good about the direction we're trending, and so it's going to be a fun game.
Big game Tuesday, snapping the 3-game losing streak. How gratifying was that to kind of get in the win column again after a couple of tough ones?
Yeah, no, it was super gratifying. It was a little hard not to let your mind wander or think about, you know, being 1-3 and those kind of things. But we just tried to stay present, and we knew that the biggest challenge was Oklahoma State, and now that's our same approach for Utah, and we're just going to take it one game at a time.
Does Craig Manning do some of his best work when you get to 1-3 of like, hey, stay present, stay here, check these keys?
Yeah, no, he does a great job of working with us, helping us to focus on the task at hand. And so we're grateful for him and all of our coaching staff just staying the course, right?
And when Craig Manning has helped LeBron and Giannis to titles, you trust that man.
Yeah.
You trust that guy.
In fact, Trevin Nell told me after the game against Oklahoma State that Dr. Manning has made all the difference for him this season, and specifically in his recent shooting uptick. So what are some of the phrases or like buzzwords that he says to you to help you get right when maybe your mind is wandering like you just mentioned?
Right. So he helps me a lot, just like in terms of having an objective every day for practice and for games, and then a plan to achieve that objective. So that's kind of my mindset. I'll text it out or I'll write it down and give it to his assistant. And then after the games, we kind of review it. But it's just a good way to track growth and see, you know, how I can best channel my mind.
Feels like Mission Impossible-esque. You get a little briefcase. It's got like the objective, the mission. If you so choose, you're like, I so choose. And you have had 20 points off the bench. This is a new role for you.
Right.
How was it at first kind of hearing the news? Because being the guy the last 2 years of point guard, that's probably not an easy message to take. Yet, you have provided two of your best games all season. So how did you sort of deal with that and then produce for your team the last two games?
Yeah, for me, it was just all about controlling what I can control. I know I've talked to you about that. And so obviously that's a coaching decision and that's outside of my control. And so it just became with, okay, what am I going to do with this? And so my goal as a point guard, as a leader on the team, is just how can I make my team better? And so coming off the bench, I've just tried my best to be a great teammate, to be aggressive, because that's what all the staff has been on me about. And so I feel like putting those two together has just helped me play some good basketball the last little bit.
Was that hard? Because that decision is probably hard to take. Was that difficult for you to manage that and show up in that way for your team?
Yeah, I think it's always difficult when things don't go exactly how you plan, but that's life, right? It's about how you respond. And so I saw it as an opportunity that I got to play with Foose a little bit more and we could play our two-man game. And so just trying to look at that side and not get caught up so much in the decision.
Dallin Hall is with us on BYU Sports Nation. We talked about it after the game, but when both you and Yegor are on the floor, those minutes have become more limited because you've staggered things with you coming out the bench and whatnot. But there are significant times when you are on the floor together, and it worked out well against Oklahoma State. So how do you build from that? And what was working well with the two of you on the floor together?
Yeah, I think that us staggering, it gives us both a little bit of time to run point, you know, get comfortable, get some rhythm with the ball in our hands a little bit more. And then when it comes to the end of the game, we're both in a position where, you know, on ball, off ball, we're ready to attack the defense. And I feel like that makes us super dynamic, because we can attack closeouts if we're off ball. If we're on ball, we can create for our team. And so it's been a little bit of a process figuring out, and I think we still have some room to grow, but I'd say we're definitely trending in the right direction, and he's a fun guy to play with.
I loved you hyping him up, because here he is, an incoming projected lottery pick guy. He's the starter. You're coming off the bench. You very well could have been like, good job, Yegor. I'm happy for you. No, you were hyping him up, and that showed me a lot about you as a teammate. What was it like to sort of try and re-energize him in a game where found like he rediscovered something? Because I got some Draymond Green, Kevin Durant vibes. You remember that scene where he's like, you can do it, you're the man, let's go, let's go. It felt like you did that a couple times.
Right, yeah. Now, the biggest thing on my mind is just winning, you know. All that other stuff will kind of take care of itself. So winning and getting better every day is my goal. And so he's going to be a huge piece of us winning a lot of games. And obviously, we've had a great relationship all summer. We feel like we can be one of the best backcourts in the country when we're out there together. And so I was just excited for him to get going. It was a huge game for us. Like, that's one we needed. And, yeah, I was just stoked about him playing well and giving us the best chance to win.
I want Utah to do something to get him mad again. Like, angry Yegor was awesome. He was great.
Make the man angry and then see what happens.
Right.
Dallin Hall on BYU Sports Nation. When you pinpoint all the different things that BYU basketball is doing well right now, and then some of the things you need to work on, what are at the top of the list for each of those categories? What's doing best and where you need probably the most work right now?
Right. I think doing what we're doing best is we're sharing the basketball really well. And we're playing with a lot more pace these last couple conference games.
Yeah.
And so I think that's helped us a lot offensively. And then defensively, we've been really working on having a tight shell, is what we call it, where we're in good help positions, able to deter guys from getting to the paint. And I would say the things that we need to improve on the most is probably our physicality, like setting the tone and rebounding and taking care of the basketball. Those are kind of two things that jump out at me.
What's your favorite part about playing against Utah?
Just like the the history of the rivalry itself, right? And all the incredible games, and there's that little bit of bad blood there. And it's fun too, because we've been playing pickup basketball all summer with a lot of those guys, so I have good relations with them. And so now it's just like, that's all aside, right? We're just battling. And so we have a little bit of familiarity with some of the guys on the roster, and it's going to be a fun one.
Who are some of the guys you played pickup with? And then where are these games?
Oh, yeah, the secret runs. No.
Not that we want to get involved. That's not what I'm asking.
I see what's going on.
Jerem just peeking around
showing
the curtain like,
the
who is that?
I don't want to guard Gabe Mattson. No, thanks.
He's like, I got next. Yeah, no, like we play with Hunter Erickson, right? He was here.
Yep.
Lawson and Cabe, obviously, he was playing with us and then came over. So just a couple of their guys, and we usually will bounce back and forth a little bit sometimes.
I was going to say, do you mix the teams? Are we on the same team sometimes, or is it BYU versus Utah guys?
It's usually BYU versus Utah guys, but sometimes we'll mix it.
Was it a neutral site? Are you going up there? They're coming down here?
A little bit of both, yeah.
Nice.
Sometimes at UVU, so on the middle ground.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hey, Tanner Tulsa, can you open the gym? Can we get in there? Let's go.
Seriously.
You mentioned to me after the game, well, this go around as we approach Utah, we got number 13 on our team.
Right.
Like, that guy's on our team.
Ava.
But you do have fresh memories of what happened up there. So how do you use what happened last year in your preparation mentally and emotionally as you get ready to go back up there again and try and avoid what happened last year?
Yeah, I think a huge part of it is starting early, like starting fast from the jump. They obviously kind of came out and punched us in the mouth last year, and it took us a little bit to recover, a little too long, I would say. And so we got to be ready from the jump. We got to play our game despite what they do defensively. And then offensively, this year they play a little different. They play a lot more cutting, kind of similar to how we played last year. So we want to be super disruptive. We want to make sure there's a lot of attention on Mattson and we're able to slow him down. So those are kind of the focus points.
Kind of both now, right, with the brothers on the same team, which is interesting. And then Jake Wallin in the mix has been fun. Caleb Lohner's there. Caleb Lohner's on the team too from a couple years ago, so that'll be fun. They are a taller physical team. Do you feel like rebounding is going to be a huge thing in this game?
Yeah, I think it always is in the Big 12, just with the physicality and the athletes that we have in this league. And so that's going to be a huge piece. I think on the flip side of that, they are bigger, taller. They got to guard a lot of our actions. So I think that's going to be tricky for them.
Dallin Hall, BYU basketball is on BYU Sports Nation. It is rivalry week for the Cougars. We all remember very well what happened in the football game and how dramatic that was.
Right.
Okay. So does that play any role in the emotions of how the basketball team approaches this game? And I know that's a stretch of a question, but like...
No, it's not.
It's there.
I feel like the energy flows into the other games.
Do you feel that?
Does it?
Yeah, I think so. I think their fans and our fans, because of that game, are both like that much more invested, right? For us, like, we had a great time watching, shout out the football team, like, they had a great year. We loved watching them play. They had a big time play at the end of the game. But like, that just makes us that much more excited to go and get the second W on Utah this year.
Is your best memory on that court from high school? Because you had like a massive dunk.
Throwdown.
You had some great success in the state tournament. Is that the case? And do you need something Saturday to supersede that? Like, my new best memory is this shot against Utah.
Yeah, no, I've had some good memories on that court. The dunk, you know, winning a state championship with my high school best friends. So that was super special.
Donovan saying hey.
Yeah, Donovan.
That was fun.
I think like, I'm in the present, excited to make more memories and go out there and take a big dub.
Let's go. Dallin, great to have you with us on the show. All of the BYU Sports Nation karma that we
can
gather up collectively.
Some of that Will Ferrin energy.
We are sending you, the Will Ferrin BYU Sports Nation karma, sponsored by Big Game Bill. To take that and go up to Salt Lake City and perform well, we appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Dallin.
Appreciate you guys as well.
Okay, Women's Hoops on the road at Texas Tech tomorrow. Another big game in the Big 12 for the Cougars taking on the Red Raiders. You can watch it on ESPN Plus at 7 Eastern tomorrow. Listen on BYU Radio.
Headlines on the way, including Cougars in the NFL playoffs. What's next there? A big road game for BYU women's basketball, as well as Jerem just mentioned, and the gymnastics home opener. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Attention, BYU.
You can follow this here program on social media. It's on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok until it's shut down. When is it? Is that happening? I haven't followed that.
I don't know.
We're on there until then, at least.
I don't know. Speaking of politics and presidential cabinets, like, well, I don't know what the heck's going on.
I don't know. I just go to work and go home and watch BYU.
Welcome back to Studio B. I'm Spencer Linton. He is Jeremy Jordan. Let's roll out your non-politicized headlines.
Well, we'll see about that. Men's basketball seeks its first true road win of the season tomorrow night against that team up north. KenPom has Utah winning by one, 50% chance of winning.
Fake news.
Okay. Pre-game coverage begins at 8 Eastern on BYU Radio. With the game, this is all factual. With the game tipping off at 9 Eastern on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio. Why is this game on ESPN Plus?
I don't know.
And a game time change was announced for BYU Cincinnati on Saturday, January 25th. Just move back 30 minutes. It's at 10:30 Eastern on ESPN 2. So we got pregame for you an hour before.
All right, late night viewing. Mm-hmm. Cougars in the NFL playoffs on the mind right now, including Puka Nacua and the LA Rams. Surprise of the playoffs this year. They're on the road in Philly to take on the Eagles on Sunday. Kyle Van Noy and the Baltimore Ravens in Buffalo.
Huge matchup
with the Bills on Sunday. Andy Reid, Kingsley Suamataia, and the Chiefs, still good, still in first place, hosting the Houston Texans tomorrow. They're probably going to win again. And Michael Davis and the Commanders trying to upset the Detroit Lions on the road tomorrow.
That's a fun matchup, too. I like them. Number 5 men's volleyball reverse swept number 6 Ball State last night in Muncie, Indiana. After losing the first two sets, BYU stormed back to win the final three by a total of 19 points, thanks to center change. Tyler Herget came in, 10 kills from opposite Ian Little as well in his first action of the season. His sister Claire is the star of the women's team. Cody Thim led the Cougars with 19 kills, 13 digs. Same two tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN Plus.
BYU women's basketball after a break in the midweek on the road this weekend at Texas Tech. Both teams trying to pick up their second win in Big 12 play. Jason Shepard has the call on BYU Radio. Watch on ESPN Plus beginning at 7 Eastern.
Gymnastics hosts its home opener tonight against Southern Utah Flippin' Birds. Thunderbirds in town. Awesome. BYU will look to build off of last week's 194-2 performance at Oregon State. You can watch it at 9 Eastern on ESPN Plus. Spence, the first of many gymnastics meets.
Yes.
We'll call in the next couple weeks.
How about 2 quad meets on Monday as well? And then again on Friday against Utah week from today.
So you're telling me you got 4 meets the next 8 days?
Let's go. Yep, that's the deal.
At least you're not going off the ball.
All right, on to basketball, specifically AJ DiBonsa and Xavion Staten. If you want to watch both of them in action this weekend, good news. Utah Prep plays Monteverde Academy this Sunday at 7 Eastern on ESPN 2 at the Hoop Hall Classic at Springfield College in AJ's home state of Massachusetts.
The first of many games.
You can watch these guys on TV.
He's been on ESPN before, but get used to this for next year. Women's tennis picked up 2 wins in the season opening doubleheader yesterday, beat Weber State and Ogden, and Utah Tech in Provo. So they played in 2 different spots.
Yes.
They won both.
Yep.
Men's tennis opens the season today against Weber State at home.
BYU swim and dive both competing this weekend with the dive team at Cal and the swim team hosting Denver tomorrow on Senior Day.
I always love Brigham versus the Pioneers. I think that's a fun matchup. And Patrick Fishburne is competing in the American Express Open at PGA West, Pete Dye Stadium course in La Quinta, California.
I've played that course multiple times.
And?
I didn't want to play golf ever again after the first time I played that
discouraging?
Course. It's ridiculous.
People don't have that experience. They don't know, oh, I played at the Delson, now I hate basketball.
Wow. I was not ready. I was not ready for it. We are halfway through the BYU men's basketball season. So after the break, we're going to discuss our mid-season superlatives. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Station. We are live in Studio B. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Halfway point of the BYU men's basketball season, so we have the halfway point superlatives, like best player, best play, best win, worst loss, among a few others. So let's get to it, Jerem. As we discuss the midseason superlatives, who is at the current time the best player for BYU?
I think this one's pretty obvious. It's Ricardo Saunders. Richie's been awesome. Leading scorer, 43% from 3 is better than we thought. three games of 25 plus.
Yeah.
Highlighted by the 30 against Arizona State. He's top 50 nationally in effective field goal percentage. I think he's been BYU's best player.
He's one of the best three-point shooters in the Big 12 right now, which is wild. You think about that.
Like, he's awesome.
What? Yeah, it's Richie Saunders. Who would it be if it weren't Richie Saunders? That was what I struggled with.
We should have done second best player.
Like, who would it be if it weren't Richie Saunders? Is it Trevin Nell?
It's hard to say Yegor given the struggles recently, right?
Is it Foose? I don't know.
I don't know. BYU's got four or five guys that
splitting
would be
hairs
candidates there. Down hall the last couple of games have been really good. There was a stretch where Dawson Baker was awesome. Kaba Kata's numbers have gone down just a touch, but as a role player, hard to be like second best. I don't know. I want the best player on the team to be Yegor or Cannon, and I want the second best player to be Yegor or Cannon. I think of those two, because we know what we're going to get from the vets.
Really, you don't want a vet to be the best player?
Well, I just think those two freshmen take you to another level.
No question there.
Because we know what the vets are going to do. They're awesome.
But I wouldn't
have a problem with Richie or Dallin being the best player.
See,
Foose
that's
as
me.
The backup center, I don't think he should be your best player if he is starting then. So it's kind of an interesting
BYU football. Needs an alpha late in the game, and I think Dallin Hall is that guy.
Yeah, even though he's the backup point guard
yes.
at the moment.
No, give him. Who's the finisher in the game?
Good conversation with him, by the way.
Dallin Hall,
That couldn't be easy to come off the bench. He's fully embraced it emotionally. Fine. That's hard.
You know, I love Dallin. Embrace him.
How do you not
He's
love
so Dallin? Important yeah. for this team. Most important player halfway point, Dallin Hall.
Dallin and Richie and Trevin, like, epitomize the traditional BYU player. You're going to need those guys to win in the future.
You need to rely on them.
One and done's like AJ.
Yes.
You need those guys.
Yep.
Okay, next up, worst loss.
Is it worst loss or best win?
Best win.
Best win. Okay. I was like, wait, I'm not ready. Best win, Arizona State. Yep. Or wait for it, tomorrow at Utah.
Yeah, that was my answer, too. Tomorrow at Utah is the answer.
It's Arizona State right now at home, 20-point win.
Yeah.
As far as metrics go, that's the best team that BYU has beaten head-to-head.
Best net rank, too.
Quad 2 win.
And you win by 20?
Yeah. Yeah, you dominated. Your biggest win in your short Big 12 history.
I love the fifth bullet point here. Is there a better win? No, there's not. What would be better? Oklahoma State? They're 123 in net. Florida A&M or
NC
something?
NC State?
Wyoming? No.
No. It's Arizona State.
In fact, I wish BYU had one or two better wins than this. They didn't play a great non-conference. They're 2-3 in league play so far. Like, I wish we were saying at TCU.
Yes, if there were a road win at TCU, that would
Perhaps.
Be the win. Because it's a road win.
Yes.
And it's borderline quad one.
Yes. Okay, worst loss.
Oh, this one hurts. At Providence.
Agreed.
And there are multiple layers to that. It set back Yegor Demian weeks, literally, because of
Physically
his injury.
And emotionally.
And now he's trying to get back from that.
Yes.
Like, this cost him, like, a significant amount of emotional headspace.
I think it cost BYU in that losing streak, too.
Yes.
Like, Yegor wasn't playing his best ball, getting back up
if
to
he
speed.
Doesn't have to sit out for 4 weeks, we're having a different conversation here talking about BYU's best win being against Texas Tech.
They're not beating Houston, but Texas Tech could have been a more winnable game.
Yes.
I don't think BYU automatically beats Texas Tech, but if Yegor doesn't get hurt and BYU doesn't get blown out against Providence, maybe things are different.
It also didn't allow Yegor and Dallin to play basketball in meaningful games through the entire month of December.
Yeah.
I hate that reality.
Well,
like, it just set them back.
I mean, there weren't that many meaningful games.
Sorry. Games that count in the standings. Give them time to gel and, like, build a cohesive backcourt.
Against Wyoming and Florida. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, so, I hate that. Reality.
And it's not like the Friars are that good. They're 9-9 net 88. So that's on a neutral court, that's a quad two
loss. It was an embarrassing loss, and it cost BYU.
They're not as good as we were hoping.
With injuries, yeah. And then now you're staggering injuries between Dallin and Yegor. It just set them back.
You better hope Providence stays in the top 100 net, by the way. And I think they will in the Big East, but if they don't, that becomes a quad three loss.
Well, it's 135, isn't it? Because it was true road.
Oh, it was true road. You're right. It was neutral. Check that.
Okay.
They're going to be just fine.
Okay.
That'll be a quad two. No worries. Not a bad loss.
Okay, next one. Favorite play of the season.
There have been some good plays. This one's a little off the board, but I thought it was Kaba Kata. I don't even remember which game. Dunking a missed free throw. Central Arkansas, I'm told.
The missed free throw
He
dunk.
Dunked off a missed free throw, which to me is rare. He just dunks over that fool.
That doesn't happen.
That was unique. I was like, oh, this guy can get up. There's been some good dunks, some good threes, whatever, but this was the play for me. I hope this is play number 7 at the very end of the year. I hope there are many more better plays.
Like, Dallin Hall hitting those two huge threes against Oklahoma State to swing the momentum back, that was nice. Like, we want a bunch of those, but in terms of just, like wow factor, it happened against Oklahoma State. Yegor with a block in the key results in an immediate transition pass to Trevin Nell that then ends in an alley-oop dunk for Cave Ikeda. We just saw. There's the block from Yegor. Outlet.
Push it.
To Trevin, and then an immediate recognition, throw it down. That sequence was fantastic.
And that took, 3.8 seconds?
This is when Yegor was in his blitz. Yes. In the Yegor blitz, doing all things well.
Yes. If Trevin doesn't dribble there, it's a no-dribble possession.
Yeah. I like that.
Very Hoosiers.
Maybe there's something better. I'd be interested to see if some of you have different options there for best
play. I'll be honest, not a lot stuck out. I wish we were saying Foos game winner versus Ole Miss, Foos game winner versus TCU.
Cannon Cashings has had some awesome dunks.
Some great dunks. Some great blocks.
Yeah.
Those have been awesome. So yeah, there'll be a lot of great plays by the end of the regular season. Let's go.
Last one. Biggest surprise at the midway point of the season.
The BYU doesn't have a quad one.
Amen.
And that Yegor Demon and Cannon Cashings aren't crushing it. I was hoping at this point they would be just killing it and would be like, dude, BYU's awesome. They're headed for a 5 seed. These guys are one and done for sure. They're going to be both first round picks. They could totally, all those things can still happen.
Yeah.
I just thought by this point we would see a little more progress in that department.
Sure. I was hesitant. I was hesitant to begin with because I was like, look, we got all this awesome stuff. It's just going to take a little while. And then it's taking even longer because of what we just talked about, injuries.
Yes. Yes.
And everything that's going on with that, the emotional struggles of Cannon's, his frustration being benched. I had some trepidation, but it's even further back than I thought it was going to be.
And in the end, as long as BYU plays well in March,
that's what matters
most. The timeline didn't matter. It's, can you play well in March?
Yes.
Can you get to the NCAA tournament and can BYU win
a
game?
Play your best basketball.
I would like 2 wins.
Late in the season, yes.
If that takes longer than we thought, who cares?
But in terms of just straight up surprise, I agree with you. No road win, no quad one win.
It's a little weird.
That to me is what?
But again, that can all change tomorrow at Utah.
In one game.
Absolutely.
In one game.
Speaking of quads, it's just a 2-team meet, but Monday there'll be 2 quad meets.
8, yeah.
Gymnastics for BYU taking on the Southern Utah Flippin' Birds at 9 Eastern time on ESPN Plus with your boy Spencer Lynch.
Yep, we'll take care of this meet and then prepare for 8 teams on Monday. Let's go. Woo! Lots of game notes, lots of coaches' conversation.
Lots of chalk.
We'll put a bow on today's show after the break. Who deserves the rise and shout out today? Hey, you know what?
You for Monday.
If you missed...
There's a great block by Cannon.
If you missed the coach's show last night, do not go anywhere. Amazing moment between Trevin Nell and a fan who asked a great question. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation with our question of the day. Which is, are you expecting BYU men's basketball to pick up their first road win of the season at Utah tomorrow night?
Why, heck why yeah! Not?
Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated comes from @vid and slish on X, who says, not expecting it, but definitely hoping for it. Might need to call in Will Farron for a game-winning three.
They should put him on the bench, dude.
Better make sure Big Game Bill is at the game just in case. # Gokus, I love that. Game-winning three. Yes.
Nice.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
That was a great question from a young fan for Trevin Nell last night. Listen to this on the Coach's Show.
My name is Lucas, and I'm a big basketball player. I want to play for my entire life, but I'm also a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and my main goal is to serve a mission for the church. And my question for Trevin is, how has your mission helped you in your life playing basketball?
Trevin had a great answer, but our focus is on Lucas. That was an incredible question and representative of what he wants in his life. You're headed places, Lucas. You're awesome, dude.
Holy cow. Just so well spoken. And then, yeah, Trevin's immediate response was like, can we give him a round of applause?
They all clap for him. Yeah, they all clap for him. Absolutely.
Outstanding. That's Our thanks to today's guest, one of Trevin Nell's good friends, Dallin Hall.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time. We did make time for Lucas, though.
And we should.
Lucas, come hang out with us, bro.
He's going to take our job, man. He's asking the real questions.
Absolutely.
For Jerem Jordan, I'm Spencer Linton. Shout out to Rudy Williams. Go Cougs!
Beat Utah! Big game, baby!